Righteousness, in my opinion, has everything to do with your successful life of prayer. Everything to do with it. Not something to do with it. Everything to do with it. Now, glory to God. Once you get born again, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I am the righteousness of God. Okay. Adam was righteous, but he sinned. And when he sinned, where he was righteous, now there was unrighteous. Because where he was a child of God, now he got born again from life to death. And Satan became his spiritual father. So he got the nature of his daddy. The nature of God is righteousness. The nature of Satan is iniquity. That was our nature. But now we've been born again. And our nature now is righteousness, but this body and this mind need to be renewed, and this body needs to be retrained. So the body and the mind still want to go to the riverboat, and the spirit is saying, don't go out there, man. You lost your money last week. Don't go out there. But the spirit, come on now, y'all with me now? Okay? So you got this war going on, see? But because you miss it, if you confess it, he's faithful and just to forgive it, come on, and cleanse you, come on now, of all unrighteousness. Why cleanse of all unrighteousness? Put it up on the board, 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, please. And put it all unrighteousness. Why? Because it says in the scriptures that all unrighteousness is sin. See? One of the ways that the enemy has of managing God's people or trying to manage God's people is to keep them sin conscious. See? Because sin consciousness is like a disease of the spirit. It won't let you walk upright. Stay with me. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? You see, consciousness of sin, what I did yesterday, guilty or shame, so forth and so on. You can't have that because consciousness of sin wipes out faith. And you need faith for answered prayer. So the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you have been made righteousness. Say, I have been made righteous. The Bible says that over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, any man or any person that's in Christ is a what? New creature. All things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are what? New. Come on down to verse 21. And in verse 21, he says this. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So notice what he did. He took our sin on him and gave us, come on, his righteousness. So you are righteous not because you feel righteous. You are righteous not because you're doing everything right. You are righteous because that's the way you were born. And he knows that what you're trying to do is overcome this old life. You're trying to whip this flesh into shape. You're trying to make your mind think on good things instead of thinking on those things you used to think. He knows you're battling with that. So if you fall, he lifts you back up. Said, come on, get up. Let's go again. Praise God. Are y'all with me here? So now righteousness brings some things to you. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 32, please. Righteousness. righteousness brings some things to you. And in righteousness, he says this, the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. Peace. Once you get back into right standing with God, you come back into fellowship with God. Yes. Say amen to that. Yes. Notice when Adam sinned, he ran from God. Yes. But notice now, when you mess up, you're going to run back to God, because he's got the blood eternally flowing to cleanse your mind and your heart from all the dead works, so you can serve a living God. Hebrews chapter 9. So, Isaiah 32 again. The work of righteousness shall be peace. All right? So that's going to bring peace to you. Now, you and God are one again. And that's what you want, because that's what faith flows out of. You don't have to struggle for faith. I believe I receive. I believe I receive. Whoa, 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 whoa. That works. You need to come on in here and rest in the Lord. And understand that if he said something to you, that's it. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. And the next part, and the effect of righteousness is what? Quietness. Boy, you can rest. You can just sleep at night so good. Say amen. The Bible says the unrighteous are like a troubled sea. That it's always something coming. I know they may look like they're making plenty of money, but they're taking sleeping pills to try to go to sleep. And now I'm just here to tell you right now, this righteousness will bring quietness to your spirit. Look at the next part of that. He said this. He said, quietness and assurance forever. Now that didn't say insurance. It says assurance. Say assurance. Assurance. Now what's another word for assurance? Confidence. So it brings confidence. Righteousness brings confidence. Why does it bring confidence to you? Because you don't have to feel something to believe it. If God said it, you believe it. I said, if God said it, you believe it. So let's look at confidence back again in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth whatever we ask, we know we have the petition that we desire of him. Say amen to that. Amen. So I want to make sure that I'm operating in righteousness, because when I'm operating in righteousness, everything flows like it's supposed to flow. Now, I did a little study here of a man named Moses to try to see how he operated. Let's go to Exodus and chapter 4, please, and I'll start reading here at verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, my Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and is slow of tongue. Now, this is God telling Moses to go down there and get Israel set free. Come on now. And the Lord said unto him, who made your mouth, man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I'll be with your mouth and teach you what you ought to say. Say amen to this. And he said, oh, my Lord, send I pray thee by the hand of him whom thou wast sent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. I won't go any further. So we got Aaron to do it. So Moses is saying, I can't talk. Now this is where Moses came from. He came from making excuses to move out in righteousness. Oh, Jesus. How do I'm talking about move out in righteousness? Because the righteous are as bold. Come on, righteous are as bold as a lion. Well, I'm just a little timid. No, you're not. That's the enemy trying to make you think you're timid. You are from the tribe of Judah. You are from the tribe of Judah. See, here's the deal. You and I, in righteousness, now just stay with me. We have God's DNA. We have his nature. His nature is the nature of a master. His nature is the nature of a ruler. His nature is not a nature of inferiority. Jesus didn't feel inferior to anything. He didn't feel inferior to disease. Come on, he didn't feel inferior to people. Come on, he wasn't intimidated by some intellectual. Come on now, I'm talking about you. He wasn't intimidated by storms. He told storms what to do. Say amen to that. Now, I'm saying you and I have to take on this. And when Moses first started, he didn't start way up there in mastering things. He started down here talking about, I can't talk. But look what God did with him. Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse 9, because he's going to do the same thing with you. It's not that righteousness grows, it's that you grow in revelation to it. Look what he says. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen the people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked bunch of people. Praise God. Amen. And therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses, let me take care of this bunch, and I'm going to give you another group of people to go with you. Look what Moses said. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said this, Lord, why does thou wrath wax hot against the people which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief he did bring them out, and to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath. Now he's talking to the God. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Come on now. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I can hear him now. He got a little authority in his voice. Thy servants, of whom thou swearest by thy own self, and saidest to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of this evil which he thought to do to his people. The Lord repented. The Lord, I'm talking about the same man that said, I can't talk. The same man that said that now is standing up in the face of God saying, wait a minute. Oh, hold on here. Let's talk. Now, I'm not telling you to get sassy with God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying you have now the God class of being. You can stand in the presence of God without a sense of inferiority, without a sense of judgment, without, you follow what I'm saying? Now, you want to be, it's not that God knows you can never be God. If you don't know it, he knows it. So that is not the issue. The issue is to bring you up to the place where you can receive his promise. I'm going to say it again. The issue is that he can bring you up to a place where you can receive what he has for you. I'll say it again. The issue is that he wants to bring you up to a place where you can receive his inheritance, because a slave can't receive it. Now, look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. You got to have righteousness to receive it. What God has for you is fit for a king, and anything less than a king can't receive it. You got to have a righteous mentality. I was praying that night in Minnesota, and now it's 12 midnight and Saturday night, and I'm trying to get a message from the Lord, and I start crying, you know, trying to fake God out, you know. And Lord, the people need a message. I heard it just very clear. What are you doing? I said, sir, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to get a message. He said, is that the way you're supposed to come to me? I said, well, no, sir. Well, how are you supposed to come to me? I said, well, it's supposed to come boldly to you. He said, well, come that way. I said, well, in the name of Jesus. And before I could say it, I had to start writing. Why? Because I'm trying to get it out of order. Order is royalty. Say amen to this. Order is royalty. You are a king in God's eyes. You are royalty in God's eyes. You are not some servant, some slave. You are a son. You are a daughter of Abraham. Here's what he says. Now, what I mean is that as long as the inheritor, the heir, is a child and underage, he does not differ from a slave, although he's a master of all the estate. All the estate is the earth. You are master over the weather. You are master over plagues. You are master over demons. You're a master over everything. And I'm telling you, what's missing from the church is revelation of your righteousness. You knowing who you are in God, that you have his DNA, and everything Jesus did, you can do it. Turn to the book of Esther. This inheritance is not made for an unrighteous man. Wealth coming into the body of Christ was not made for a fool. Bible says prosperity will ruin a fool. It's made for people who have grown up. You know who you are. Can't nobody look at you and look down on you. If you let them look down on you, that's your fault. I'm saying, God is the one who made you, who created you to be who you are. Esther 4:11. And the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether a man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who's not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. Now, what happened? He told Esther, Mordecai said, Esther, we need you to go in there and intercede. Say intercede. Intercession is a type of prayer. Now, I'm using this as an illustration, because it is based on love. It's saying that I'm going to stand in the gap for somebody who has missed it. Glory to God. And God's going to look at my heart and judge them. I'm going to intercede. It's based on love. Esther was gap standing. But she fasted 3 days, had everybody else to fast. Because sometimes to get that flesh subdued, you got to turn the plate over. And then chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. I told you that these things are for people of royalty. You are a person of royalty. A royal apparel, and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in a royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And said the king unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? And it shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. Notice, before she got the blessing, she had to put the robe on. Had to put the robe on, folks. And I'm telling you, I tried to go to before God and get something that was mine, in part of my inheritance, and I tried to do it in doubt, unbelief, unrighteousness, and it held it up. But once I shifted into being bold as a lion, everything broke through. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So let's look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall do what? Reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How many righteous people in Christ do I have in here? Yeah. It's not your righteousness. It's His righteousness given to you. So when you come to the throne of grace, you're going to come how?
Boldly.
Where you can find grace and obtain mercy to help in time of need. Did you get something out of this today?
Yeah.
I wanted to assure you that there's no such thing as unanswered prayer. If you prayed, He answered. I'm talking about righteous prayer. I'm not talking about some other stuff, because that's not praying. That's something that we've been taught by somebody who didn't even know how to pray. But real prayer, something happened. Now, once you pray, believe you received. Why? Because with God, there's no time. The same God today is the same as 10,000 years from today with God. It's all right now. So you got to receive it right now. So once you pray, believe you what? Receive. When?
Now.
Right when you pray. Get it? Now, here comes a fight between I believe I receive and there it is. And next week, we're going to go over what you do between I believe I receive and there it is. Because from now on, your prayers are going to be answered. All of them.